A walk along the beach, any beach, will bring your attention to the items that wash up with the waves. I mean, kelp and seaweed and dead fish are one thing, but there's often plastic trash coming on shore, too. Plastic is a big problem in the ocean, and we'll take it up in two separate segments this hour. First, washed ashore. The name could not be more literal. Members take plastic that washes up on the beaches and turns it into artwork to spread the word about trash in the ocean. It's based in Bandon. Angela Hasseltine-Potsey is the artistic director. Welcome, Angela.
Hello there.
Good to have you here. And Frank Rocco is the marketing director of Washed Ashore. Hi, Frank.
Hi there. Good morning.
So, Angela, talk about your career as an artist and the work that predated Washed Ashore.
I was actually an art teacher for 30 years and as well as an artist for the last part of that. But I've always been intrigued with turning sort of, you know, discarded items into something more interesting or to looking at materials differently. So, as an art teacher, I sort of taught everything, but I've always been intrigued with sculpture. And also, you know, I used to make sea creatures, small sea creatures out of, like coral reef things, out of thrift store items. So I always was looking at, you know, things in the thrift store and seeing what I could turn them into. And that was, I was doing that, showing galleries and museums and stuff like that. But I always wanted to do something more with my artwork and really believed in the arts as a language to communicate. And, of course, being a teacher, I also believe they can educate. So I was sort of on that path until I hit some rough times in my life and decided to come to Bandon, Oregon to find a new purpose for my life and walked the beaches and went, what's this?
Yeah. Was there a particular piece of trash that jumped out one day?
Well, it was more like a whole series of things. And you know, I had just, the reason I came was I was widowed at age 47. So I was sort of like a mess and just like wanted to see beauty at the beach. And I kind of was ignoring the plastic garbage for a little while because it's sort of like, well, I don't really want to see that. And I realized now that that's kind of what everyone is like, you know, you don't really want to see it. But I started wondering what was going on and why there was this stuff everywhere. And then one day I saw this rack line of plastic, which is like the high water mark of all these little teeny tiny pieces, went as far as I could see. And I just thought, wait a minute, you know, this is turning into the sand and plastic's been in the ocean this long, and what are we doing? And then I looked over, and there were all these people picking up agates and stones and the shells and all the pretty stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, I need to get those people to pick up this stuff.
Uh-huh.
How am I going to do that? And I thought, well, you know, so I just put my head around if I just never bought anything except just wire and metal to make sculptures, what could I do? If we could use all this plastic, if we could show people things in a way that they would see it and they'd want to see it and maybe even take their picture next to it, then they would start talking about it and realizing it. And so that's kind of what I did. I got my head around it.
So you are the artistic director, so not the only artist, would that be fair to say?
Well, no, I'm not the only artist. I'm the lead artist, and, you know, I wear way too many hats, as anyone who has a passion about something does. And I'm the founder of Washed Ashore, the lead artist, the artistic director, the executive director. But I have an amazing staff of 10 people now, and I have an artist apprentice and art assistants. But I design and do some of the finished work on the pieces, so the lead artist, but I have a wonderful artist apprentice, Elizabeth Roberts, and really it's not about even me, it's about the huge amount of volunteers that help us make these, and that's something that I love about Washed Ashore.
And we are talking about large sculptures. We're not just talking about things that will fit on a desktop, and I want to get more into the process a little bit. I want to bring Frank Rocco in here, though, and tell us about your involvement with Washed Ashore.
Well, I met Angela about just over 4 years ago. I was working as an independent creative consultant. I had owned advertising agencies in the U.S. and worked in Europe, and I moved to California, and one evening I met Angela. I was living in Mill Valley, and we started chatting, and she told me about what she was doing, and you know, I often say you can talk to your blue in the face about recycling, but if you see one of these huge sculptures of fish that's, you know, 14, 15 feet long and maybe 10 feet high, all made out of pieces of garbage that you recognize, pieces that you discarded, I mean, it really does drive the message home. And that's what sort of drew my attention. Angela drew my attention, too. In fact, we got married not long after we met. And
so congratulations.
Right, a happy ending, yeah.
But and then I took on the job as marketing director for the traveling exhibit, which we have, which has now been seen around the country and some places overseas, or at least been recognized what we're doing. And so I'm more or less responsible for getting the word out even beyond Bandon. And we've had some great success. We were just this past summer, in fact, at the National Zoo, Smithsonian National Zoo in Washington, D.C., and Angela created a piece specifically that's in the Smithsonian Museum.
And so how long did it take to get to this level where you're getting invited to the Smithsonian?
Well, it's I started about 6.5 years ago.
Wow. That is a pretty quick turnaround. We'll talk more about Washed Ashore with the founder, artistic director, executive director, Angela Hasseltine-Potsy, and Frank Rocco, the marketing director, husband and wife as well. Come back to the Jefferson Exchange, and we'll take your phone calls and emails and talk more about Washed Ashore and plastic in the ocean in a minute 20. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking about trash in the ocean, plastic trash in the ocean, and what to do about it from a couple of perspectives. For the rest of this segment, we'll be talking to the folks at Washed Ashore, based in Bandon, which takes plastic trash that is washed ashore and turns it into large sculptures that represent the sea creatures that can potentially be harmed by plastic in the ocean. Fish and sea turtles and so much more. Angela Hasseltine-Potsy is the founder, artistic director, executive director. Frank Rocco is the marketing director. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760. Email address jx@jeffnet.org. Angela, did you start fairly small? I mean, was there a duck or something that was 2 feet long, or did you go straight for something big right off the bat?
I knew it had to be big. The plastic pollution issue in the ocean is a huge problem, and it had to be a huge representation. And really, it was about grabbing people's attention. As a teacher, I know that, you know, it doesn't help to like ram facts and figures down people's throat. They have to want to learn it. And if you make something so big and amazing that people go, whoa, what's that? What's this about? Then you've got their attention, and then you could do the educational part. So, and the other thing is, with large pieces, you have to have lots of people helping you. And that's really what Washed Ashore, the heart of it is the message that everyone working together can make big things happen. And that is a really huge part of what we are. We've had about 10,000 volunteers help us make these sculptures in the last 6.5 years. And we've made almost 70 sculptures now. And there's no way that any one person could do this. And that's really kind of how we're going to help solve environmental issues, is everybody just needs to work together to do one small part that adds up. And so it's very symbolic as well as, you know, an attention getter. And so that, yeah, we started big. That was the whole idea.
Something big, sir. Frank, come back to that thing you were talking about before, where people actually recognize the stuff they've thrown away. I mean, are they pointing at things going, hey, I recognize that. That's a Tide container. Oops, I lost Frank.
You're on mute.
Yeah, no, that happens very often, and Angela is very good at that. Having been a teacher for about 30 years, as she says, being on playground duty and knowing the kids look at things very closely, and she places a lot of things that kids recognize right at eye level, if you will. And that goes for adults as well. I mean, the pieces do really, people do recognize the issue. And these animals are really threatened from what we've learned by plastics in the ocean. I mean, there's a swirling gyres out there full of, I think they call kind of like, what's the word, Angela?
The North Pacific garbage patch.
Well, yeah, the floating garbage patch out
well,
there.
Well, yeah, and Charles Morrow, it sounds like you'll be with you, you know, is kind of the one who helped bring that to light.
Right.
And, but, yeah, I mean, the fact is that people really have to see things to believe them. And when people see stuff that's in their everyday life, then they really get the message that they're part of the issue. And I think the one thing that people need to remember is that every piece of plastic that's on the beach and every piece of plastic that is on these sculptures was once purchased by someone. Those were all purchases. It's a consumer issue. And so we've written a curriculum now that's a 12-lesson unit of study about marine debris. It's an integrated arts marine debris curriculum, but so it's a really unusual way of going about it because it brings in the arts. But it's all about consumer choices and consumer habits, and it's really about us looking at ourselves. So when you see things on a sculpture, you also go, wait a minute, I just bought one of those. I didn't think about it being plastic. Is there another alternative? And that's really at the heart of all this, is that these were all purchased by someone. You know, it's supply and demand. We can demand alternatives to certainly our single-use plastics. And, you know, plastic is so integrated into our society, we're not about to get rid of it, but we need to think consciously about it. We need to think about the container things are in and the packaging things are in, and realizing that those are going to last forever. You know, plastic usually will outlast the person who buys it.
Oh, by a lot. Yeah.
You know, I remember hearing years ago someone saying that today's Tide bottle will last longer than the pyramids. And, these are really considerable issues that we're trying to address here.
We're talking about plastic in the oceans with the folks from Washed Ashore, based in Bandon. Frank Rocco, the marketing director you just heard. Angela Hasseltine-Potsey is the founder, executive director, and artistic director. And you can be part of the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Questions about the process, some observations of your own about things you've seen on the beach. We'd love to hear from you. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Peter in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. I had the good fortune in my youth to spend some time with Jacques Cousteau. And it, as you can imagine, was a very powerful experience for me. And there's only one other one that really rivaled that, and that was when I brought with some other teachers and parents about 70 kids from the John Muir School here in Ashland up there recently, and you just nailed it so well, and I so salute what you're doing. I was so, you know, I remember being so really blown away by hearing what Jacques Cousteau had to say, and I love the fact that you really addressed it, and maybe you could just do, you know, I'm always singing your praises to people to go to your website and check you out and try to get there if you can, but you might mention the sheets of flip-flop foam just for people's viewing.
Sounds fun. Thanks so much.
Really, really great work.
Peter, thanks for the call.
Well, thank you so much for your great work and for, you know, bringing those kids up. And, you know, I think it was in that group of students that did a follow-up and did something about banning the bag in Ashland. And I think we got some kids kind of really invested in the issues of plastic pollution. So that's what it's all about. And having teachers like you connect with us is what we're all about. So.
Well, what was the thing he was mentioning about the flip-flop?
Well, it's an odd thing that we find on the beach, and when I first saw these, it's basically the punch-outs, the flip-flop discards from factories. And, you know, at first I was angered. I'm like, oh, they're just throwing them in the ocean. You know, how dare the factories do that? And then I had a couple that had lived in China and knew that the factories were actually selling their discards to fishermen who would bind them with rope, but not bind them very well, and then they would reuse them for buoys.
Huh.
So it gives us an interesting way of talking about reuse, and because a lot of times we think, well, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, and reusing is great, but then it's not the end of the cycle of the object. So what happens is that the discards are inexpensive, and so they're not very well taken care of, and they're so easy to replace that they're not well bound, so that if they lose them, it's not a big deal to them. So we end up getting bound bundles of these flip-flop discards, and then the animals are pecking away at them, and, you know, and some of them are very colorful, of course, because they're from flip-flops and, you know, look like red meat or whatever, and we get a lot of bird peck marks and things like that. So, you know, it's just, it gives us an example of how sometimes we reuse things and don't think about that. That's really not, you got to keep going. What happens when it's done?
Yeah. Angela and Frank are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange from Washed Ashore, based in Bandon, which takes plastic trash that washes up on the beaches and turns it into large and beautiful and compelling sculptures as you realize, wow, this is really made from trash on the beach. You can join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Does the inspiration come before the stuff, or does the stuff help you decide what to make the sculpture out of, Angela?
Oh, it really goes both ways. There are times when I've seen a giant chunk of something and I go, oh, wow, that just looks like it needs to be, you know, one thing or another. But it also, you know, at this point, we've made, you know, so many sculptures. I'm sort of looking at the balancing of the animals. And we collect so much garbage. We've processed about 20 tons of garbage. So we have... What we do is we sort it by color and type, and then it takes me a while to get enough to do certain animals. Like brown is not very common mm-hmm. for plastic, and neither is purple or pink. So it's sort of like those have to accumulate for a while before we can make something.
Can't do a lot of coral, for example.
Yeah, and you know, it's a very odd way of creating in, as an art form, because you can't go to the store and get something you need.
Well, I was going to ask if you ever got tempted, though. It's like, boy, if I just had this, no. I'd have one more foot for a duck or a puffin or something.
No, I'm very strict about that. I mean, the whole idea is that we show how much and what variety there is that's coming in on the shores. And, you know, we don't ever use anything that is not from the beach. And people know that. And they, you know, we have a recycle bin near our site, so that people want to recycle things, that's fine. But we're not going to use their whole household stuff. And then we actually don't recycle the plastic bottles or the cans, because I figured if we recycle them, then we won't show how much there is, and that there are a huge amount of water bottles on the beach means that we have to use them all, and that means that we make a lot of giant sea jellies.
Oh, right. Because you've got clear plastic.
Yeah. So, you know, it sometimes the materials do dictate. It's like, okay, the bins are overflowing with something or other, so we got to make a black animal because there's like two bins of black right now. So,
right.
You know.
So Frank, in your job as marketing director, how do you make that turn for home in the salesman's lingo to make sure that the message gets across that while these are beautiful and awe-inspiring, they also represent a failure of humankind to make sure that we keep our plastic where we want it to be?
Well, Angela, she's done it very spectacularly. My job is really to get the message out there here in Bandon and also beyond Bandon. And we joined the Association of Zoos and Aquariums right after I joined the organization, and we visited these, we displayed at these trade shows where we took a large exhibit booth. In fact, we even won the best booth 2 or 3 years in a row because we had our sculptures, one of our sculptures there at each of the booth appearances. And then we were visible to zoos and aquariums who are always looking for ways of demonstrating how they support conservation and environmental, and supporting the environment. And we are extremely, you can't get more visual to a way of supporting conservation than by displaying our sculptures. And then, of course, we have our education programs, which is really what defines us and separates us from a lot of trash art. And there's a lot of very good trash art out there. But ours is very, very functional. It's what I called applied art, if you will. And it's applied to education here, and it's applied to environmentalism. And that's what makes it work so well, and why we've appeared in so many zoos and aquariums throughout the country.
And how many places have picked up the curriculum that you developed?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's pretty exciting. We got a grant from NOAA, and we've been working on it. I have an education director who works with me, and I've written curriculum in the past, so we're actually just finishing it up. We've been test piloting it at the Smithsonian and various zoos and aquariums and teaching teachers and, refining it. And we'll be piloting it here in Bandon, Oregon. We have a fantastic superintendent of Bandon School District is really excited about working with us. And then it will become available in January online, and it is free. And it's really a great curriculum. I am so proud of it. It's been a long process. I mean, it's sort of like 3 years in the making, and that's why I think it's so good is we've really worked hard to make it something that is very usable and also connects with the standards of science and social studies and the arts. And so it's a very dynamic and fun group of lessons.
Angela, go ahead.
We've been able to develop it also by, just locally here, trying it out, if you will. We have a Harbortown Event Center here is hosting us, and we have our display there right here in Bandon, which has also been supported by some wonderful local supporters here. The Wild Rivers Coast Alliance, which is the philanthropic arm of the Bandon Dunes Resort, as well as the Sprague Foundation, have been really helpful in sort of helping us build a real strong presence here in Bandon and generating even more sort of visitors along the Oregon coast. So it's been quite exciting all along.
We're talking to Frank and Angela from Washed Ashore, based in Bandon, which takes plastic trash and turns it into rather magnificent sculptures to get the message across about plastic in the oceans. You mentioned more than 10,000 volunteers by this point, Angela. So are there regular beach sweeps to pick up more stuff?
Well, one of the things that I always try to tell people is, you don't need to organize a beach cleanup. You just need to go to the beach. You just need to go and get in a new habit. And, when I started this, this is Oregon. Oregon is like a lot of coastal communities, but I think Oregonians have been picking up garbage just like Californians have been picking up garbage on the beaches, for years. And it used to make people angry, why are these people doing this? And, they get all upset. And what we offer is just, go to the beach, enjoy the beauty of where you're going, remembering that you're not paying for this. And on your way back, take the high road, go to the very back at the top of the dunes, go to the edge of the land and pick up the garbage as a way of saying thank you to the beach.
Oh, it's like getting your ticket punched.
Yeah, it's your ticket. It's like, okay, you just enjoyed this, soak it up, love it, and then say thank you. And then what's really great is people don't get angry anymore. They get excited. They're like, oh, I can hardly wait to see what this turns into. So we get people going to the beach and just dropping it off at our facility. It's just south of Bandon, Art 101. And people, we have a place where people just drop it off anytime, and then we process it from there. And so we partner with the state parks, we partner with Surfrider, Solve is a big partner of ours for the beach cleanup. So we participate in the big ones, but we don't even need to organize those. And our state park rangers are fantastic.
In a sense, Angela, are you hoping for your own demise as washed ashore? I mean, if you're really super successful, then there wouldn't be any stuff left to make sculptures with.
I wish that would happen. I can't see it happening in my lifetime. I mean, to run out of art supplies would be the most glorious thing. I mean, I can't tell you, when I go to the beach and I see a piece of white and I go, oh, please let it be a shell. Please let it not be plastic. And when it's a shell, I'm so happy. But, I would love to have that, you know, I'd love to be able to retire, but until there is no plastic on the beach, we're going to keep doing this, and we're going to keep building sculptures, and we're going to try to reach as many people as we can, and that's the best we can do.
You can see sculptures and video and process and so much more at the website for Washed Ashore. We've linked to it from our own website at jeffexchange.org. Lots of great stuff to see there. Frank Rocco is the marketing director. Angela Hasseltine-Potsey, the founder, executive director, and artistic director of Washed Ashore. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Yes, thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
All right, take care. We'll talk to you down the road.